I love that song because it leads us right into what we're going to talk about today, and that is the courage of faith. We're going to end our study in Hebrews chapter 11 today, so turn, if you will, to Hebrews 11, verse 30, and we're going to talk about these heroes of faith that showed courage. Now, we can look at our lives and we can say there's times it's easy to believe in God. It's easy when things are going great. There's food in the pantry. There's all kinds of things going on that are good. But the question is, do we persevere in faith? Do we have courage to face those times when the pantry's bare? Do we have courage to face the times when things are tough? You know, life is a struggle. Jesus told His followers, take up your cross daily and follow Me. Jesus understood that we would have to die a little bit to ourselves each day. He said, you're going to face tribulation in this world. You're going to face persecution. You're going to face trouble. And what we've been looking at is how faith impacts our lives. And today we're going to look at how faith gives us courage to face these troubles. How faith gives us the courage to stand up for what is right, to stand behind our beliefs, and to face that persecution, to face that mocking, to face disasters, to face trials, whatever may come into our life. The phone call at 2 a.m., the medical diagnosis, the doctor saying, I've got bad news. Faith gives you courage. So we're going to read about these heroes of faith today that exhibited amazing amounts of courage because of their faith, because of who they had faith in. So you may be sitting here going, well, does this really apply to me? Let me ask you this. Have you ever had to be courageous about anything? Yes. Okay. So yes, these verses apply to you. Let me ask you this. Do you think you're going to need courage in the future? Yes. So these verses apply to you too. So basically, what we're going to look at is beginning in verse 30, and I'm going to save my voice today. So what we're going to do is we're going to read through the scripture as we go. So we're going to start out in verse 30, and we're going to look at what God's Word says about courage and how faith creates courage. You see, we have a choice. We always have a choice to follow God's way or to follow the world's way. God's way is going to lead us into places that we cannot even imagine. Some of them are going to be so awesomely great that we'll come back like the kids with the awakening that, hey, we just want to tell you, we're all pumped up. We want to do this. Some places will be so awesomely fearful that we will come in and we'll say, man, let me tell you how God got me through this. But the fact is that we can look to God for courage. We can look to God for faith in each of those situations. So what we're going to read about today is a bunch of people who faced problems, who faced difficulties. They thought they were insurmountable. Man, this is a huge problem. I can't deal with it. And what they learned through faith is that God would give them the courage to deal with it, the courage to take it, and to understand that it is God's will and that God's will is best for us. Even those things that we go through that don't feel comfortable to us, they take us out of our comfort zone, they take us into conflict, God is with you. So look in verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. So you guys know this story. Joshua and the Israelites, they've come out of their 40 years of wandering. Remember, they wandered in the desert for 40 years because the people were scared about reports of giants in the land of Canaan. Reports of giants. Okay? So these spies come back, these 10 spies, two of them said, hey, we can take them, God's with us. But 10 of them convinced the entire nation, we should fear. We shouldn't have courage. They're going to beat us. They're bigger than we are. You ever faced anybody bigger than you are? Oh, yes. We have. We all have. Maybe not literally, but figuratively. when we face something that's bigger than we are, whether it be drugs, whether it be a person, whether it be something in our lives that is putting a roadblock between us and God, we have the ability to have this courage. What does it take? It takes listening to God. So you know the story. Joshua brings the people into the land of Canaan, and they didn't see giants this time, but they saw this giant walled city called Jericho. And just so you know, this city was a fortress. It had three series of walls, and the walls were massive. You couldn't get inside this city, but God said, you're going to take Jericho. Now remember, the same kind of people 40 years ago had said, we're scared to go in because of the giants. That whole generation did not go in. God worked on a generation of Hebrew people to give them the courage by exposing them to thing after thing after thing in the desert, to give them trust, to give them the pillar of fire, to give them a pillar of clouds so they would understand God is for us. I know who goes before me, as the song said. I know who stands behind. So they learned to trust God. So here's God's battle instructions for this massive walled city, right? Here we go. Okay, you put the priest in front with some horns. You walk around once a day. And on the seventh day, you blow your horns and everybody scream. That was it. Okay, does that sound like a battle plan? Not to a human being, it doesn't. How are we supposed to, you know, but you know what? If you go back to Joshua chapter 6 and you read about this, you remember all the times the Hebrews griped in the desert? Well, how are we going to get food? What's going to happen? How's this going to work? They did not say one word this time when God told them, this is how you're going to beat Jericho. You know what they did? They got up and they prepared to march because it was God that told them. And they knew this time. They had the courage to follow God because of the faith He had given them in the desert for 40 years. So what did they do? They marched around the city, and just like God said, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And they took the city. Now, what did they learn from that? What did they learn? They learned we can trust God. We can have courage to face an insurmountable, impregnable, impossible project if we do it God's way. I bet you there was not a single one of those people, if you had given them a battle plan and said, you come up with something on your own, nobody would have come up with that battle plan, right? We may have invented catapults early. I don't know, but it would not have done that battle plan. But God did, right? And they had the courage to follow it, even though it was unreasonable, even though it didn't make human sense. That's courage, folks. Courage is to do God's will according to God's word when everything around you screams, no, 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 no. When that little voice in your head, maybe the, you know, y'all see those cartoons with the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other, that little devil's going, no, 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 that'll never work. Courage is to do God's will when He calls you to do His will, because it is God who tells you to do it. Look in verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. So there's this prostitute in Jericho. She's a hero of faith. Not only is she a prostitute, but she's a Gentile. And worse, she's an Amorite, one of the race who God had long ago marked for destruction. So she would, as we would say, she's got three strikes against her, right? But you know what? She believed God. She put her faith and trust in God and was the only person, her family, was spared from the destruction of Jericho because she trusted God. Understand what she did. She took her life in her hands and defied the government. These spies come in, the Jewish spies, they come in, and the government knows that they're in Rahab's house. Where are the spies? Oh, they went out. she hid the spies. If they had found that she was hiding the spies, she would have been killed. She was not scared to do what God was leading her to do. She had that courage to do what God was leading her to do because of what she knew about God. You know, what did she know? You know, she was not some super saint. Let me tell you what she knew. It tells us in Joshua 2:11 that she had heard that God had given the land to the Jews, to the Hebrews. And this is what she said. As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. She understood who God was and she put her faith in God. She went to God's people and said, I'm going to help you. Save me. And they did. When they invaded Jericho and the walls came tumbling down, she had a red handkerchief tied outside her window. And that said, spare this house. Kind of like the blood we talked about last week painted on the lintel said, spare this house. Kind of like the blood of Jesus Christ on your heart says, spare this house. She had the courage to do something that put her in imminent harm. And she's a hero of faith. You also know that she was the mother of Boaz, who married Ruth, great-grandmother of David, so she was a descendant of Jesus. Understand that. A prostitute, Gentile, Amorite is a hero of faith and a descendant of Jesus Christ because she put her faith in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 32 to 34. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. You go through all those stories. We've talked about Gideon many a time. But, I mean, understand this is another instance where God gives Gideon an instruction that wouldn't make sense. Here's 32,000 people coming against you, Gideon, and I want you to go into battle with 300 people. You had 30,000, but that was too many. Let's go down to 300. And you're going to pick them based upon the way they drink the water. Okay. And then, once you get to 300, you know, they're sitting there, there's all their swords in a pile, there's all their spears, and God says, well, no, you're going to do something a little bit different today. Well, Lord, what are we going to do? Well, your weapons are going to be a trumpet and a clay pitcher that's got a what do you call those things?
Torch,
yeah. It's got a torch in it. Thank you. that's what your tools are going to be. And you know who won the battle? God won the battle. Now, you don't hear Gideon going, wait a minute. Now, I buy the 300 guys, God. I understand that. But a torch in some clay pots, I don't get this. He just did it. He had the courage to follow through what God commanded. And you think about Samson. You know, we don't think about Samson necessarily being a hero of faith. But it was his faith that allowed him to finally beat the Philistines. Even though he was blinded, what did he do? Prayed to God, one more time, Lord, fill me with your power. Let me be your witness one more time. Talking about closing the mouths of lions, this is talking about Daniel. Let me show you one of my favorite paintings of Daniel. Now, this is Daniel in the lion's den. And what's neat about this picture? Daniel has his back to the lions. Let me ask you this. Is that courage? You're in the lion's den, okay? I think if I were in the lion's den, I would be watching each and every movement, waiting for those cats to pounce, right? But in this painting, Daniel's got his back to the lions because his trust, his courage is totally in God. It doesn't matter what's behind him. Because God's behind him. Right? God went before him and he's sitting in there with him. We talk about staving off fire. We'll talk about that in a minute, but that's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were able to stop fire. They survived fire. They had courage. Nebuchadnezzar, throw us in there. We don't care, because God's going to protect us. He may take us home, but he's going to protect us, and we are not going to violate his word and worship you. That's what courage is, folks. That's what faith brings you. Faith brings you the courage to stand up for God's word when everything is coming down on you. Now, God's going to start you small. God's going to give you somebody in your life or something in your life that's going to challenge you to make a decision between doing what is right and doing what is easy. And I pray that each and every one of you will pick to do what is right based on God's word. That's where true faith comes from. That's where the courage to live the way that God wants us to live truly comes from. Remember, Paul wrote, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Not some things. I can do all things. So when Christ calls you to do something, fear is not really an option. Whom shall I fear when God calls me to do something? Nobody. Because he's already been there. He's prepared the way. He'll be right beside me the entire time, and he's going to be watching my back. Well, what if it's dangerous? God's called me to it. Like we talked about in the teen Sunday school this morning. When we get a request from somebody in authority, the question is not, what did they say? And whether I decide whether I like the rule or whether I think it makes sense to me, but the question is, who said it? And if it's God speaking a command, if it's God telling you, this is my will for your life, then we need to say, yes, Lord, yes. Right? Is that going to be scary? Yes. Does courage mean that you're not scared? No, it means you overcome any fear that you have. And it means that you overcome it through faith. You overcome it through faith in Jesus Christ so that you can be like all of these heroes. And you know what? We think, man, those were awesome people. They did great things. They weren't super Christians. Samson, we know, certainly was not. He was a rebel, a rascal, and got in all kinds of trouble. Some of these other people did too. But they had the courage that faith brought them to conquer in struggle. So that's that first point. They have the faith to conquer in struggle. And the second thing kind of flows from that. They had the courage and the faith to continue in suffering. Look at verse 35 through 38. It says, "Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourging, and yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth." So these verses tell us about several kinds of people we see through Scripture. Women receiving their dead raised back to life talks about the woman whose son Elijah raised, and Elisha, his successor, raised the Shunammite woman's son. So we know those heroes of faith, they suffered loss for a while. They had problems. They suffered death. They were tortured. We see all throughout the Scripture torture. Look at Paul. Many, many times Paul was subjected to 39 lashes. He couldn't give him 40 because that would have killed him. But many times he had 39. That's why they whipped Jesus 39 times before they sent him to the cross. Because 40 they had figured out through trial and error. That's kind of a scary thing. But they had figured out through trial and error that if we get you 40, you're going to die. 39, no, you're just going to be really, really miserable. But you know what? Faith persevered. Courage persevered. They endured mocking. They endured scourging. They were sawed in half. This is talking about the prophet Isaiah. He got on everybody's nerves because he preached so much with so much strength, and he kept proclaiming God's word in the face of rebellion, in the face of heresy, that they decided, we're going to get rid of you, we're going to saw you in half. And yet, like Abel, Isaiah still speaks to us 2,700 years later, doesn't he? We read his book, we read his gospel, really, and we understand what God did for us through Isaiah. And he had the faith to keep on speaking. They didn't shut their mouths. You think about Stephen being stoned in the New Testament church. Stephen is being stoned and he's laying there on the ground with Saul, soon to be Paul, holding the people's garments while they stone him, looking on with pleasure. And what does Stephen pray? Lord, don't hold this against them. And then he says, I'm giving you my spirit. I'm ready to come see you. That's courage. He's not sitting there bawling, screaming, stop, stop, stop. He's got the courage to face even death because of the faith that he has in God. He looked and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. That gave him courage. So, you know, we're not to be worried about what God leads us into. We're not to be worried if it leads us into physical danger. We're not to be worried if it leads us to death, because that's calling us home. The sole question is, do we have the courage to respond in faith? When Jesus Christ calls you to do something, will you say, yes, Lord, and do it? Or will you come up with an excuse? Well, you know, somebody else is better suited for that. I'm not a public speaker. I'm not this. I'm not that. If God called you to do it, there's a reason he called you to do it and not somebody else. The third thing that we see is that faith has the ability to always count on salvation. That's what drives people. That's what enables that faith and the courage to stay there. You sit there and you think, well, what is it that I'm hoping for? What is it that I'm putting my faith in? I'm putting my faith in God who brings me salvation. Look at verse 39 and 40. All of these, the writer says, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So you know what this says? These people that had this kind of amazing faith that we still sit here and look at these thousands of years later and go, man, that's awesome. They didn't have the light that we have. They didn't have the understanding that we have. They didn't have the completion of Jesus Christ in their lives. They looked forward to it as we look forward to His second coming. But they looked forward to this promise that was in the future. They looked forward to the promise, like Abraham, of God giving this land to them. They had to look forward. Guys, we get to look back. We get to look back not only at their lives, but we get to look back at what Jesus Christ did for us. We get to look back at the promise, the assurance of salvation that Jesus Christ brought. We get to look back at the fact of His resurrection and understand, yes, He died on that cross, but God raised Him from the dead and accepted His sacrifice as payment for our sins. Do you know, as that song again says, yours is the victory. Jesus has won the victory over sin. He's won the victory over death. He's won the victory over everything we will face. He simply calls us to come along and be a part of it. You've won the victory through Jesus Christ. So we've seen in these verses amazing stories of faith. We've seen, starting out with Abel, how he followed what God said. Moses was the picture of obedience. Abraham lived a life of faith. Enoch walked with God. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph followed God in death. And now we come to people that had to deal with real world stuff. The rest of them did too, But I think the writer of Hebrews put this in there so that those of us who are living and struggling with all kinds of things would have somebody to look at too. And the question here is, God, how is this faith going to help me? How is my faith in you going to get me through this problem? And we see the answer in these verses because it's going to give us the ability to rely on salvation, to continue through suffering, and to be courageous in the face of struggle. It's going to give us the ability to stand strong. So God is calling each and every one of us to do something that can be very, very scary. And that is to accept His Son, Jesus Christ, to put away our own will, to put away our own desires, and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want Jesus to be my Lord and Master. I want Jesus to tell me what to do. See, that bristles you, doesn't it? Everybody was kind of smiling until that part. We bristle. I want somebody to tell me what to do. If it's the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Right? Because He's only going to tell us to do what's in our best interest, what's good for His glory. So the first hard decision that you have to have courage to make is to say, I want to follow Jesus Christ. And then when you decide to do that, once you've accepted Jesus Christ, here's your decision. Take up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow me. Now, I can believe in Jesus. I can have some faith in Jesus. But I can be one of those that is an armchair Christian. I'm not going to get in the battle. I got news for you. You're in the battle. When you became a child of God, you put a target on your back and on your front that Satan is hunting for, to destroy your witness, to do what he can, because he cannot have you, he cannot have your soul. God has that forever, but he wants to make you an ineffective warrior. Your choice day in, day out is, am I willing to stand and fight for God? Because that's what he's called you to be. Finish with this song. Who should you fear? Absolutely no one. Because you have the God of the angel armies on your side. And you know how his record is undefeated. And he may be old, but he is eternal and he will never lose. You see, we have the ending of the story in the Bible, don't we? When you read the book of Revelation, you see he never loses. He doesn't lose. And we don't lose either. So the challenge to us is to have the faith that we've been reading about for all these months, to have courage to follow what he says in his word, to have the courage to step out in faith and raise our hands and say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I want to be part of his family. And then I want to follow him as a disciple. I want to be dedicated to him. I want to do what he wants me to do. So each and every day, this writer of Hebrews is challenging you with those questions. Have you done that? If there's anybody here who has not, you need to do it. Because God is on your side. He loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to pay for your sin debt. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today in thanksgiving. We thank you for this great chapter that we've been spending these weeks in. Father, we thank you for each and every life that you've recounted in this chapter. We thank you for their examples. We thank you for your lessons about faith. Father, I pray that you would put into each and every mind, each and every heart that has heard your words these weeks, the faith, the gift that you give us to believe, contrary to what the world says, contrary to what our hearts might say, contrary to what our mind may say, contrary to everything except your word, Father, I pray that you would lead us to believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, put our faith completely in him, and then when we decide to follow him, Father, we deny ourselves, we take up that cross daily, and we follow you. I pray we have that courage. You equip us, you train us. You train us to be courageous. You train us to be faithful in struggles. You train us to be continuing in those struggles. And you train us to continually look towards the promise of salvation. These folks in Hebrews 11, they didn't get to see it. We got to see it. We can look back on it because it happened. We can look back on it because it's history. Father, but it's our future history. It's our eternal hope. And I pray that you fill each and every person here with the conviction to follow you in whatever you may be challenging them to do. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.